Native Heritage Day, Saturday, March 26th, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. This is an all-ages event. Miigwech. Saturday, March 26th, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. This is an all-ages event. Miigwech.
Listening to These Things That People Make on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph and elsewhere across the country over the National Campus Community Radio Program Exchange, and also hosted on Radio for All and hosted on my blog, thesethingsthatpeoplemake.blogspot.com. Hello, my name is Sarah Mangle. And today is March 17th. It's Thursday morning. There's a lot more people in the station at this time than I'm used to. It's nice. And I am airing an interview about the amazing zine, A How-To Guide to Manarchy. And it's put together by two people. Their names are Emily and Kaylee, and they work on a project together called Go It Alone Together out of Halifax. And I want to encourage you to check out the website that features all their zine projects. It's goitalonetogether.ca. And A How-To Guide to Manarchy was made in 2007, and it's the first zine that Kaylee and Emily did together. Kaylee and Emily are roommates and friends and collaborators. They work on ongoing zine projects together. Sometimes they illustrate each other's zines. Sometimes they write things together. Sometimes they collaborate in other ways. And they have some call-outs that I'm going to be reading at the end of the show. But I'm going to just start. I started by just asking Kaylee and Emily to define for me the word manarchy. It's a term that me and my friends throw around a lot, but I thought it would be a good place to start. So here is Kaylee defining manarchy.
Manarchist is someone who... generally a dude who basically is still like sexist and misogynist, but then claims to be supportive of anarchist politics or claims to be an anarchist. And I think that it's important to know that one of the reasons why we made this scene was because we were going to the anarchist book fair in Montreal, and we, you know, we're just kind of frustrated with like men in our community who talk about being anarchist but still did really shitty, sexist things. And so we were just talking about how it's really annoying that people were continuing to, like, further sexist ideologies and sexist ideas while at the same time claiming to be, you know, part of radical political movements that try and fight for equality and justice. And so I think when we were going into it, when we were going to the anarchist booker, we wanted to have something that kind of humorously approached those issues and kind of gave us a place to talk to people who were part of radical communities who, you know, we didn't think necessarily were challenging themselves on being, you know, anti-sexist, on being, like, on fighting misogyny within themselves as well as within our own radical communities. I'm anarchist in its, like, most basic definition is just, like, a sexist dude who talks about being radical and talks about being an anarchist and talks about is a lot of talk but not a lot of walk.
I think that your zine, How to Guide to Manarchy, strikes a particular chord and fits in a niche that is really needed. And I found that zine in the small zine library in my apartment in my bathroom and now carried around with me for, like, hard times, you know? And so I know you made it in 2007, but I would argue that it's a timeless, very important zine. And I was wondering if you could read it.
So it's a small zine. It's, like, smaller than a quarter size, maybe like an eighth of a size of letter paper. It has a black and red cover, and it's called A How-To Guide to Manarchy. Rule number one of manarchy. Manarchists are always right. Anyone who accuses you of being a manarchist is just trying to bring down the movement. Dress code, black. Clothes should either be stolen, dumpster dived, or traded with friends, and should either look like they were acquired as such to constantly assure people that this is, or constantly assure people that this is the case. What's most important is that in clothing is that if someone doesn't dress like you, they aren't committed to their anti-capitalist politics. And then there's a picture that has a black bandana, black socks, black combat boots, a basic t-shirt, patches, dental floss only, no thread allowed, and Carhartts. Direct action. If you're not risking arrest or physical harm, it's not direct action. People who aren't willing to put themselves at risk of arrest or physical harm aren't willing to fight for the revolution. People who criticize your tactics are not allies. When risking your health or freedom for the sake of the movement, especially if you're not in your own community, you deserve food, accommodations, a place to party, and legal support. You deserve these things even if you don't provide any support to others. If someone doesn't have the experience or knowledge of different tactics, security culture, anarchist history, etc., it's their own fault. And then there's a picture of a jail suite, and it says, Deluxe Manarchist Hotel Room. Relationships. One, open relationships are the only relationships that challenge the state. Two, you have the autonomy to date whoever you want, whenever you want, no matter what the circumstances. Three, if it hurts anyone or creates difficulty for others, that is their own bullshit. You don't have any responsibility. Four, if your partner asks you where you were, what you've been up to, or tries to communicate anything, they are just trying to control you. Five, being drunk doesn't affect consent. We all know what we really want when we're drunk. Being polyamorous means your right to do whatever you want, whenever you want, with whomever you want, and it's non-negotiable. Then there's a little picture of a bed, and it has four or five pairs of feet sticking out of it, and they're all bare except there's one that's wearing combat boots, and it says, an open relationship, manarchist slumber party. Anarcho-feminism. Just a way for women to privilege their issues above the real goal for the anarchist project, equality for everyone. There's no need to fight for women's issues because anarchists fight for everyone to be equal. Men are oppressed by the patriarchy, too. And then there's a picture of a megaphone, and it says, the anarchist always gets the megaphone. Privilege. Your parents' class background is no one's business. It does not affect your understanding of the movement. You can be white, straight, middle-class, male, cisgendered, able-bodied, and completely understand and empathize with people who, with people of color, queer, poor, female, transgendered, living with a disability, or face any other kinds of oppression that you don't. And then there's a picture of a dumpster, and it says, best source of food, clothes, furniture, and street cred. Now we have a picture of a cell phone, and it says, anti-security culture listserv, and it has some humorous emails of anarchists. And then it says, remove the battery so the fuzz can't find you. Accurate responses to criticism. Leave the room, pout, defend yourself, be aggressive, do a lot of scoffing, play the victim. And the last thing is a picture of a stone that says, the state, yours to smash, a gift for the anarchist in your life.
Amazing.
That's it.
Thank you so much.
Subject of lesbianism is very ordinary. It's the question of male domination that makes everybody angry. The subject of lesbianism is very ordinary. Subject of lesbianism is very ordinary. The subject of lesbianism is very ordinary. It's the question of male domination that makes everybody angry. Everybody angry.
You are listening to These Things That People Make on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, and that musical track was by The Lesbians on Ecstasy from their album We Know You Know, and the track was Victoria's Secret. And I am playing an interview with the writers of the zine A How-To Guide to Manarchy. It was written in 2007. It's fantastic, and it's written by Kaylee and Emily, who collaborate on a project called Go It Alone Together, based out of Halifax. And we're going to continue that interview now. I would say that there's a lot of manarchists at the Anarchist Book Fair in Montreal.
Yeah. I think one of the reason I think that we did it at that time was because we wanted to feel like we were armed with something. We didn't have a table at that book fair, but like even just the sense of like going into the space, like knowing on some level that like we were just by going, opening ourselves up to like being kind of vulnerable to be in a space that was going to be so like dominated by Texas dudes, that we wanted to like kind of feel like we were armed, and mm-hmm. So this was our sort of like humorous way of doing that. And I think the other, like, the reason that it's so cheeky is because like what we're being critical of is this posturing, and so in a way the zine is like a posturing zine, like it's pretending that it's a zine that would actually be helpful to anarchists in terms of like guiding them through the process of becoming a better anarchist. Although that is I think more than that, it's really for people who see it as a problem and like can get a really good laugh out of
out of like kind of seeing how hurtful the situation is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's really interesting too, because I think Emily and I both are people who there's maybe like differences. We have differences in taste from some people who we probably share a lot politically with. So just in terms of like how we dress or like the kinds of, you know, hobbies we have, or like Emily's like at the time Emily was at NASCAD and I was at King, and it was just like, I think when Emily talks about how we wanted to arm ourselves, it was because often our politics were challenged in this really superficial way,
mm-hmm.
where people challenge us on the fact that, you know, like we just come from a different background in terms of like the kinds of things we like, but not necessarily in terms of like political ideas. And so it was just really frustrating where, you know, in some of our among some of our friends we were too political, and then in terms of like within communities of like radical people who claim to have radical politics, there was like this animosity because, you know, we were pretty vocal and strong women, but we didn't necessarily like the same things that other people in those, like, other people liked. And so we just kind of always felt, well, I don't know, I can't speak for Emily, but I kind of always felt that a little bit out of place. What I really liked about the Manarchist scene, it was like kind of comboed a bunch of things that Emily and I like to do. So zine making, you know, like cheeky, hilarious illustrations, and also like really like clippy text. And it was just something that was like easy and fun that we could do that would like also, you know, I think force people to take the kinds of things we were talking about seriously too.
Mm-hmm. And how was it received?
Well, it was received really well by like most of the like women that we gave it to, and like just kind of passed it out among friends and friends of friends, and people were really stoked on it. We did get like the double middle finger from one of our least favorite manarchists, and he like wouldn't even talk to us about it. It was priceless.
Wow.
And then there was like the kind of like opposite of the intended effect, like posturing from dudes who like I totally identify them as manarchists, and they were like, "Oh, this scene's so powerful. We're so proud of you." And then like went back to hating us the next day, like. It's pretty annoying.
That's really interesting, though.
Well, I think a lot of those dudes don't think that it's about them.
Yeah.
Or think it's about them, but like think that it's superficial. Like, and that, I think the best part about this scene is that it gets a positive response from most women that I talk to about that scene, and most I would say most women, a bunch of trans folk, and a lot of queer people identify a lot with that scene. And then I feel like the straight dude market is, like, often just, like, either rejects it or is kind of superficial about it, like, the appreciation of it, and it doesn't really, like, take any, yeah, it just doesn't adopt the behavior.
It's interesting because I've never seen another zine written about manarchists specifically, but there's always conversations about it. So, but there's something special about making an object that's going to stick around for a while and just, you know, be more vocal than most people are publicly, I think. I think it's pretty rare for people to actually call out manarchists or discuss manarchism in front of actual manarchists.
Yeah,
it's definitely harder.
It's totally harder, and also I think one of the reasons why it was better for Emily and I to do it is that we have some distance from a lot of people who we feel like we're talking about in the zine now, and maybe we didn't at the time, but even at that time, like, it was a situation where I feel like it wasn't like we were going to have to see the kinds of people that we were talking about in the zine day in and day out, and I think that that's what made it possible for us to do that kind of thing, and I think it has actually, I know it actually has, like, brought people to talk to men in their communities about misogyny and sexism, and that's what I think awesome.
That is awesome. And I mean, I think the other thing is maybe, like, who knows, but it's different for somebody to come up to you and say, thank you for writing the scene. It kicked my ass. Like, it made me think of some of the ways I behave, or like how I consider dumpstering to be the superior way to eat, or the ways I think about polyamory. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't challenge people in a private way, you know?
Yeah, totally.
I've been having discussions with people recently about, like, radical feminism and like radical feminism in the last 10 years. And I'm just wondering, like, in your own experience, like, what's the response generally from your friends or other people around, like, having particular radical feminist politics inform your zine projects?
I think that with Emily and I, or I think when we talk about kinds of zines we want to make and what we want to talk about in them, I think that feminism is such a core part of our lives and how we, I think it's a pretty core part about our relationship,
mm-hmm.
That it would be difficult to kind of not have that. It would be difficult to have it not influence our work, and I think that a lot of people, I think a lot of people appreciate that. I think another thing is that, like, we're all about injecting humor into into our material, and I think one of the recent popular slogans we've been using is "fuck the boys club." Yeah, and I think it. But it's really, I feel like a lot of women who don't necessarily also identify with, like, second wave feminism, or don't identify with, like, some of the bigger projects of feminism, like wage parity and stuff like that, would, like, identify with still knowing that women are experiencing oppression,
mm-hmm.
and that trans people also, like, face gender oppression that,
yeah,
that men don't face in our society.
I think one of the things that's really special about this project, Go It Alone Together, is that, like, Kaylee and I only have to check in with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it lets us be kind of, like, more out there than we can be in some of our other groups, because even in, like, the other feminist organizing that I've done, and, like, kind of the closest project to get to, like, where, like, I want, like, kind of, like, merging of, like, politics and action to be, it was like, how do you check in with 25 people about, like, the wording of this pamphlet?
Yeah.
And, like, is it radical enough? Is it, if we, like, take this radical stance, or, like, who are we alienating? Like, how do we, like, talk about trans inclusion in this, like, feminist group? Like, these questions are important, but when it's, like, me and Kaylee doing zines together, like, we can have that conversation and come to some sort of conclusion and be like, this is our stance. And it's just a lot harder to incorporate that into different types of organizing,
mm-hmm.
Like, under a, like, feminist banner, and, like, especially under a radical feminist banner, because it's just, like, harder to wrangle opinions of, mm-hmm. like, many people.
Music's not a mirror to reflect reality. It's a hammer with which we shape it. Yeah, to all my crate diggers, we the shapeshifters. The fire flame spitters, we the shapeshifters. To all my freight bombers, rake fitters, mic stage rippers, tell them get they weight bigger, we the shapeshifters. To all my crate diggers, we the shapeshifters. To all the plate spinners, we the shapeshifters. To all the freight bombers, rake fitters, mic stage rippers, tell them get they weight bigger, we the shapeshifters. Man, I hate, but I hate bigots, especially the ones who make 8 digits. His maid underpaid and while she's making a steak dinner, unaware of the tears, he wonders why the taste spitter caught the itis, heavy eyelids sink too deep to wake him. In his dream state, cleans place, and his feet are aching. Leans way side to side, chemicals make his hands feel. Realize he's seeing through her eyes, but he can't feel. Pillow only, willow pass, wishing he was middle class. At least cooks a feast, pours a drink, but he can't sip the glass. Mental telepathy, possess him with a recipe to make him feel some empathy. Here's the thing, to set us free, back in his own bed. Sunlight is spilt between the window blinds, he then decides to write his will. Their lives are intertwined, him and this young lady. give away his whole fortune, did a 180. To all my crate diggers, we the shapeshifters. The fire flame spitters, we the shapeshifters. To all my freight bombers, break jitters, mic save rippers, tell them get they weight bigger. We the shapeshifters. To all my crate diggers, we the shapeshifters. To all the plate spinners, we the shapeshifters. To all the freight bombers, break jitters, mic save rippers, tell them get they weight bigger. We the shapeshifters. A great plague crept into the space age, transmitting hate rate, climate change. My brigade was sensor sharper than laser rays, equipped with 88 keys and 808 bass. To save the whole homo sapien race, 21 hours, 180 minutes shorter than 8 days. To prepare for the events about to take place, invading with a treatment and aiming at point blank range. Injected by your form, undetected to the forces who are hoarding resources to make a quarter. We gain our supporters, going door to door to reconnect the cords from the brain to the aorta. Stop, nothing short of everyone understanding that all the powers within them to counteract this. United, never defeated, long as the fight is strategic, self-reliance and sound is a tactic. To all my crate diggers, we the shit.
Thank you so much for listening to These Things That People Make. If you want to get in contact with me, you can send me an email, sarah.mangle@gmail.com. Please visit my blog, thesethingsthatpeoplemake.blogspot.com. Go It Alone Together has ongoing call-outs for participation, and one of them is the Sisterhood Male Art Project. And you can check that out on their website, goitalonetogether.ca. And I also just want to mention that there is an upcoming 13-hour zine challenge that These Things That People Make is putting on in collaboration with the Arrow Archive, Earful of Queer, and the Guelph Center for Gender Empowerment and Diversity. And it's taking place on Friday, March 25th from 7 p.m. to 8 a.m. And it's taking place at the Guelph Resource Center for Gender Empowerment and Diversity, which is room 107 in the University Center on the University of Guelph campus. And it's a 13-hour zine challenge, and it's inviting you to come and make a zine. No experience is necessary. All ages are welcome. The space is wheelchair accessible. We'll be screening Born in Flames, and there will be free photocopying, loud DJs, and snacks. Get in touch with me if you want any more information about that. My email again is sarah.mangle@gmail.com, and I encourage you to check out Go It Alone Together's website, get a copy of the How-To Guide to Manarchy, and also check out all their other zine projects that they've been working on. And next week, our show will be about the ongoing project of pet calendars that Sarah Evans has been working on, and also how to put on a 24-hour zine challenge. Locavore is up next, and keep it locked.
Under that burn, an ether that falls down on these walls, burning my arms, I've been alone. What a sad lie. For every word I could undo, I've been uncrossed and I've been untrue. I've been the thorn, I've been the heart, but the heart of my own burned down alone. Simple charm to keep the wounds that they
what I can.